Now, I've got a modern proverb for you this morning. I wonder if anybody can complete the first line of this modern proverb. Let's have it up there. Give a man a fish. Hands up if you know the rest of that line, the first line of this proverb. Give a man a fish. Give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day. Yes, okay, let's have that up there. Give a man a fish and you'll feed him for a day. There we are. And what's the second line of the proverb? Who knows the second line of the proverb? Andrew and Leonie are having a bit of discussion about it, shall we say? Yes, that's right. Teach a man to fish and you'll feed him for a lifetime. Okay? Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But if you give a man a fish for one day, well, that will be great. For that day, that'll provide him with a meal, but then it's gone. But if you teach a man to fish, well, then you've given him the resources to feed himself for the rest of his life. Now, if you equip somebody to do something for themselves, then you've resourced them for the rest of their lifetime. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Well, remember that proverb, because we'll be coming back to it a little bit later on this morning. But we're going to turn from the words of men, wise as they are, to the word of God. And Alex is going to come and read that for us, Luke chapter 24. So do be turning in the Bibles to page 1061.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their face downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked them, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our ruler handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we have hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning the Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talking with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them, assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Well, it's just a week since Easter Sunday. It's a week since we were last here. And when we heard about Jesus's tomb being empty and the women going to the tomb and meeting the angels, Luke tells us that in the first bit of this chapter. Anyone remember what the angels said to the women? What did the angels say to the women? It's there in verse 6 of this chapter. He is not here, he has risen. Okay? He is not here, he has risen. That was the message that the angel gave to the women on that first Easter Sunday morning. Jesus had risen from the dead to live forever. Now that was a week ago, but here in our reading this morning, how long ago is it? How long ago is it? Yes, Jacob. It's the same day, that's right, okay? So we're still back at Easter Sunday, as it were. I know we're a week later, but actually we're still in the same day. It's later that same day. And we're told, aren't we, that two of Jesus's followers were walking from Jerusalem to a village called Emmaus. How far was that? We're told how far it was? 7 miles, that's right. So about sort of maybe two and a half hours walk, an hour and a half, if your name is Stephen Scott, for the rest of us, about 2 hours. And what were they walking? What were they talking about as they walked? What were they talking about as they walked along? They were talking about everything that had happened, weren't they? That's what we're told in verse 15 there. All the things that had happened. So the things that Luke has just been telling us about. Jesus being arrested and crucified, his body being put in a tomb just before the Sabbath began, and then it seems even that they've heard the rumor that Jesus is alive. The thing that they've just heard that morning before they'd left Jerusalem. And then what happens? What happens next as they're talking together? Yes, Jesus comes, doesn't he? Jesus comes and walks with them, doesn't he? Wow, isn't that amazing? Here is Jesus alive. How special that is. Jesus walking alongside with them. But then we're told something rather strange. What are we told in verse 16? They were kept from recognizing him. Isn't that strange? I think it seems really, really strange. It doesn't say they didn't recognize him. It doesn't say they couldn't work it out. It says they were kept from recognizing him. Who do you think has kept them from recognizing? Who do you think has stopped them from recognizing who Jesus is? Yes, Gloria. God has. Yes, that's right. It doesn't say it's God, but Luke knows that God's in control. So when he doesn't say, he expects his readers to know that it's God. Now, this is really strange, isn't it? You would think that Jesus being risen, Jesus being alive, would be something that God would want everyone to know about. But God stops them recognizing Jesus. Other people recognize the risen Jesus, but these two men are prevented. How strange. Why would God do that? Well, hold on to that question, and we'll come back to it later. So this stranger is walking alongside them, and he asks them what they're talking about, and one of them, a chap called Cleopas, he says, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem? That you, that's why you don't know what's been happening." Well, Jesus, of course, he does know, but he asks them again, what things? And then they explain that they're talking, don't they, about Jesus of Nazareth, verse 19. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. But, verse 20, the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. That's what had happened. He'd been crucified, put to death. And how are these two men feeling? How are they feeling as they walk along the road? Are they happy or are they sad? What do you think? Happy or... Yes, Gloria. They are sad, aren't they? We're told, aren't we, verse 17, their faces were downcast. The next thing they say, verse 21, we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. That's what they've been hoping for, but it hasn't happened. Now Jesus is dead, and all their hopes have gone. Their dreams have been shattered. They think it's all over. They know about the events of that morning, verse 22. They say, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb and found it empty, and then some of the men came along and they checked it out as well. But even though they know that, they're still sad. Still seems like they think it's all over. And what does Jesus say to them then? Would somebody like to read verse 25 for me? Somebody read out verse 25. Would somebody like to do that? Verse 25. Thank you, Andrew.
He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken."
Okay, so what saying what's happened is what the prophets back in the Old Testament had said would happen. And then verse 26 says, "Did not the Christ, God's promised King, have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" It's not a mistake that God's King has been killed. It was God's plan. It's what had to happen. And then verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Now, Moses and the prophets, that's a way of talking about what we call the Old Testament, the first part of our Bibles. And this stranger explained to them that what their Bibles said is what had happened to God's promised King, that he would be rejected and killed. Now, have they recognized Jesus yet? Do you think that have they recognized Jesus? No, they still haven't, have they? They still don't know who he is. Just a stranger. Here's a stranger using the Old Testament to explain that everything's happened to Jesus is what God said would happen to his King. Well, they urge Jesus to stay the night with them, don't they? And they have a meal together. Jesus takes the bread, he gives thanks to God, and he starts sharing it out amongst them. And it's only then, as Luke tells us, verse 31, that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. At that point, God stops preventing them, and they recognize who Jesus is as he has that meal with them. And then it seems that more or less straight away, he disappears. He leaves them. And what do they say to each other then? Would somebody like to read verse 32 for me? Okay, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So there's a recap on the story. We'll come back and think about it a bit more in a moment. Okay, so these two men, they were sad, weren't they? They were sad and demoralized. But here they are talking about their hearts burning within them. Their hearts are on fire. So what a change. Now, when did that change happen? Was it A, when this stranger explained the Bible to them? Or was it B, when they saw the risen Jesus? Hands up for A. Nobody. Okay? Hands up for B. Was it so when they saw the risen Jesus? No, you're wrong. The answer is A. Their hearts burned within them when the Bible was being explained to them. They hadn't yet recognized who Jesus was. That's when their hearts were burning. They, the sense that they knew it was true. I guess they understood that Jesus was indeed the Savior that they realized that they needed. That's what changed these men. It happened before they'd recognized the risen Jesus. They still thought he was a stranger. Now, why, anyone here seen the risen Jesus? Anyone seen the risen Jesus? No, we're 2,000 years too late. Not even George is old enough for that, okay? No one has seen the risen Jesus. So why has God kept these two men from recognizing Jesus? That's a question for anybody. Why has God kept these two men from recognizing the risen Jesus? Yes, Jacob. So they could understand Jesus more. Okay, I think that's a helpful starter. Yeah? So that they would be in the same position as we are today. So that instead of seeing the risen Jesus, they would be taught about him from the scriptures. Let me ask another question. Why has Luke recorded this particular story? Why has Luke included this story in his gospel? Well, the answer is because his readers, they haven't seen the risen Jesus either. But this story tells them that they don't have to miss out, because it was as the Bible was being explained that these men had a true encounter with God. They met the risen Jesus through the scriptures before they saw him with their eyes. That's when their hearts burned within them. I wonder, do you sometimes wish that you'd been there on that first Easter Sunday, and that you'd been able to see the risen Jesus with your own eyes? Have you ever had those sort of thoughts? You wish you'd been there that first Easter Sunday? It would have been amazing, but it's not necessary. We haven't missed out. You see, what are these two men left with? What has Jesus given them? He's given them a way of meeting him whenever they want. If they had immediately recognized Jesus, well, that would be wonderful when it happened. But what about a few weeks later? How would they meet Jesus then? Oh, what about all the people who've been born since Jesus was taken up to heaven? How are they going to meet Jesus? Because these two men were kept from meeting Jesus, the answer's clear. It's through our Bibles. All they had to do was to return to their Bibles, and their hearts would burn within them all over again. Let's go back to that proverb that we started with this morning. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. Jesus has given them a way of being spiritually fed for a lifetime. Had they immediately recognized the risen Jesus, well, that would have been wonderful for a day. But Jesus has given them and us a way of meeting him every day, but for the rest of our lives. Here in the Bible, we have a beautiful and complete picture of Jesus. We have everything we need. These two men who were sad and demoralized, and maybe we feel like that sometimes, but the word that it was explained to them is the same word that is available to us. These scriptures that are all about Jesus, that's the word that sets their hearts ablaze. Still today, when we turn to our Bibles, we find our dead hearts being brought to life, being set on fire with the love and the joy and the hope that the risen Jesus brings. Let's pray.